Welcome to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. And I'm sitting here in the driver's seat. I'm up here on the wall. And again, for those of you that are new to the show, my name is Nathan Leal, and I have been called by God to warn all the individuals that are willing to listen, to those that would have the ears to hear. God loves you, and He has compassion for you. So that's why I'm bringing the message that I'm bringing. Now, the financial news that I want to share with you, it's happening so fast every day, folks. Every day there's more news and more events that are happening and occurring. We are on the fast track. This thing, this machine is moving so quickly across the land and across the world that it is hard to keep up with what is going on. If some of you have been to my website, if you're not listening to this on a CD, feel free to browse all the articles that I have and the news that I'm trying to place on the front page. And in there you will see links to around the world where you will actually see that what I am saying is not made up. It's documented. We are in trouble, folks. And the events are happening so quickly that it is actually a pretty fearful thing to hear this information if you're not in the right place with God. We are at the commencement. It has begun. The judgment of God is alive and well on earth. I ran across a story that was on the internet, and it came from the Telegraph UK. And I will have a link for this on my website, but the story goes, I'm going to just briefly share some of the things that are mentioned here. It says, "The bust after the boom gave me a fright." In this story, it's talking about the ones that are falling by the wayside in this worldwide global economic crash that is underway right now. It lists some of the companies here. It says it's a sick list. It is varied. It gives a listing of the companies that have gone bankrupt. And right here it says Linens and Things has gone bankrupt. They are no more. They're going to be closing over 100 stores, folks. In my other broadcast, I mentioned that. We talked about that. Linens and Things is no more. They are gone. Home Depot is shutting down 15 stores. CompUSA is no more. They have shut over 115 stores. Kimball Hill, a housing company in California, has filed for bankruptcy. Home Interiors and Gifts. How many of you people have ever heard of Home Interiors and Gifts? What that is for the wives that want to have a little hobby to sell things, kind of like Tupperware parties. They filed for bankruptcy. They are in trouble, folks, and they have over 70,000 distributors nationwide and even in other countries that might possibly be wondering what future they have with their involvement in home interiors and gifts. That's sad. Some of you wives, if you're listening and you're involved in home interiors and gifts, I hope things work out for you, but this is just a sign of the times, folks. People do not have the extra money to go to a party and buy extra things from a distributor. Because of gas being so high, it is affecting every gamut of our lives. Those of you that are aware of how economy works, you know that everything is related. And then we have the recreational sin companies that exist out there. Right here we have French Lick Resorts, who own several casinos in different places. They have filed for bankruptcy. Now, you would think that in times of economic downturns, some people would still want to go try their luck and see if they can try to win the mortgage payment at the blackjack table, but obviously not enough people are thinking like that, so the sin recreational businesses are hurting as well, and rightly so, because really all they are doing is stealing people's money. I was being facetious right there when I said that people possibly would think that that's a way to make money. It's not a way to make money, folks, so don't be involved in that. And then as we go down the list, another company filed for bankruptcy, Recycled Paper Greetings. The greeting card company, the number three greeting card company in the United States, has filed. They are $187 million in arrears, and they need bankruptcy help. So they have filed also. That's another thing to think about there, folks. Bankruptcies of greeting card companies. See how this is affecting every gamut of life? Well, a greeting card company, that's just a $1 card or a $2 or a $3 card or $4 or $5, depending on how nice the card is. It's not that big of a purchase, but even still, apparently, not enough people have money to be buying birthday cards and anniversary cards and get well cards. So they are hurting. And then I see Tropicana Entertainment, another recreational sin company. They have casinos in different places, in Vegas, in New Jersey. And by the way, I did some research and I was looking at the statistics of some of the recreational sin companies out there, or sin cities, like Vegas, and they are down in their profits. They are down in their revenues. There is not as much activity, not as many people have the money to just throw away and burn in recreational sin activities. So even they are hurting, folks. And from the statistics and numbers that I was seeing, the casinos are down 10 to 20% depending on which casino it is. And the same number holds true in Atlantic City. They are down 10 to 20% as well. That is also affecting small town mountain casinos that you might find scattered across the country. That would also affect Indian casinos. In the state of Colorado, there are three mountain towns that allow casinos to exist, and they are down more than 10% with their revenues as well. So even the recreational sin companies are hurting as well. And as it goes on, this story says, as the Fed's latest loan survey makes clear, lenders have dropped the guillotine with the usual delay. The poison is spreading from banks to the real world. And folks, how true that is. The poison is spreading. It's spreading to every type of business that is out there. And I just mentioned some of them just now. From recreational household type things to recreational sin type things to actual just spontaneous purchases or celebration type companies like greeting card companies to house companies to linens and things that sell decorations for a person's brand new house. This housing crunch, this mortgage meltdown is affecting every area. Every area of the United States, every area of jobs, and it's going to spread further and further and further. We are witnessing the judgment of God. I have been warning this. When my website was turned on in July of 2007, I started with this warning. The judgment of God is coming to America. Prepare, folks. Prepare, prepare. And for several months, nothing happened. There was not a lot of financial news that was gloomy on the horizon at that time. But God had told me to warn the people. Finally, at the turn of the new year, it's like a snowball. It has started like an eruption, a volcanic eruption that has gone worldwide. The booming eruption of economic downturn can be felt and heard by everybody. And as the story goes on, it says defaults are rising almost twice the rate of past downturns. Companies are heading into this recession with a much more toxic mix. The margin of error is razor thin, she said. Now, this person talking was Diana Vassa. She works for Standard & Poor. Standard & Poor is the company that rates the health of companies that are out there so that you can decide if you want to invest in these companies, in their stocks, their equities, or their bonds. So, she says right here that some 174 companies are trading at distress levels right this very moment, folks. This does not cover the carnage among smaller firms outside the rating universe. They rate companies that are large enough to be rated, but companies that are too small to be rated by Standard & Poor, it is a feeding frenzy that is going on right now. There is a vaporizing, a carnage, bloodletting is happening right now, folks. Can it be stopped? Will it slow down? Is this just a temporary cycle like the lies I keep reading on the front page of MSN News or the cable news channels that lie and tell us that all is well? It is not well, folks. Here's another story. Historical story right here. It has never happened in the history of California. The California city of Vallejo, 117,000 inhabitants, has just made history by opting for Chapter 9 bankruptcy. Why did this happen? A city? Are you serious, Watchman? Brother Nathan, are you telling me that a city actually filed for bankruptcy? Yes, I am. I just read it. Vallejo, California. You might have already heard the story. It has never happened in California history. Why did it happen? It's a result of tax erosion from a 26% fall in house prices. The house prices in California are dropping as fast as a bowling ball off a tall building. They are dropping, going down, down, down. California is experiencing the judgment of God, and rightly so, folks. What is happening in California has been warned by prophets. I have heard prophets for the last several years say, flee California, get out of that state. The judgment of God is coming to that state. Why? Because California has felt that it is right and politically correct to legalize statutes that are anti-God and disgusting. They legalized recently that the gay marriage ban is no longer valid. The Supreme Court of California overturned the voters. So now they have said that the gay marriage ban, it is no longer in effect. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has said that he's just going to go along with it, jump through the hoops, and allow it. Now, that's just one story of the outright unrighteousness, abominational acts that California is doing right now. There are many more, folks. California has, in their school books, erased any references to mother and father, mommy and daddy. Now, it's the partners, their guardians. Mom and dad is no longer a politically correct term because some people don't have mom and dad. They have dad and dad or mom and mom. Heather Has Two Mommies was a book that was written in the past about Heather having two gay lesbian mothers. California is on the fast track to the judgment of God. So what is going on in California is not just an economic downturn. What is going on in California right now is not just some bad luck. It is the judgment of God. By the way, folks, if you live in California, I would do everything I can to get out of that state because we have only just begun what God is going to do to California. He's going to sift them and he's going to make them realize that God Almighty laughs up in heaven when the earthlings think that they're smarter than him and they can do away with his commandments. So this is the tip of the iceberg that we see happening as far as cities going bankrupt. We're going to see that more and more in this economic meltdown crash. Now, the city of Vallejo is the first one. There's another city in California that is playing and juggling with the thought of bankruptcy, Half Moon Bay. So that might be coming soon. You are going to see it happen more and more, folks, because the house prices that are going down, that are depreciating, are taking away and eroding the tax base. Therefore, cities cannot collect the tax revenue that they had been hoping for in their budgets, meaning that they cannot pay all of their bills or all of their employees. You know, I had once thought and considered that possibly the recession-proof occupation would be anything related to government, but obviously I am being proven wrong now in that. That was just a wrong theory or something that I wondered about. So nobody is immune to the carnage that is coming. Nobody, folks. The story goes on. It says U.S. consumers are juggling plastic to put off their day of reckoning. The Fed survey said credit card debt has jumped almost 7% in the first quarter of this year to almost $1 trillion. This year, folks, this year it has jumped up to almost $1 trillion for every working American, which averages out to $6,000 per American. My guess is that many Americans continue to run up massive credit card debt because they have little intention of paying it off, said Peter Schiff of Euro-Pacific Capital. That is quite true. There are a lot of people that are just on life support right now, financially and economically. They have no other choice. So many people have no idea what to do, folks. There is so much confusion that is beginning to happen right now. What do I do? What is going on? Is this temporary? Hopefully this spring it'll get better. Hopefully this summer it will get better. The spring is halfway done now here in 2008, and it has not gotten better. It has gotten worse, and it is not going to get better this spring or this summer. It is going to continue. So the story is a gloomy tale of the judgment of God with the words of man. But we're not done yet, folks. We are not done. It is going down, down. No one and nothing and nowhere will be immune from what's coming. Nobody. And it's not going to only affect the United States. It's going to be a global meltdown that is coming. If the United States gets sick, if the United States gets a flu economically, the whole world will feel it. And that's what is going on right now. By the way, oil, we're about to hit $130. First time in history, $130 transferred into your gas tank. What does that mean at this point? We are pushing the limit on $4 a gallon. We're getting close. The $4 resistance is about to be broken. And actually, it has been broken in some states already. I've seen stories in parts of Alaska. It's already broken. California and Florida, parts of New York. It has already broken the $4 barrier. But that's what we see happening. And folks, the sky is the limit on this. Some people think, well, it's going to hit $4 Memorial Day weekend. Come back down. No, wrong. Scratch that. That is not true. It's going to continue to go up because there are a lot of wheels turning behind the scenes right now, folks. We see prophecy happening. The most amazing part of what we see happening right now before our very eyes is that most people have no idea that we are witnessing prophecy in action. There is going to be an end result to what is going on right now. An end result that is going to forever change your life. It's going to change the life of you, your kids, your parents, your family, your friends, and your neighbors. If you are a resident of the United States, or even if you are not, it's going to affect the whole world, what is coming. Now, I plan to go into the explanation of what's coming in several broadcasts. When I'm trying to explain this, the hardest thing that I am facing is some of you listeners do not believe what I'm saying, and you are not going to believe what I say. Even though the signs are all around us, even though your bank account is proving what I am saying, still there are some of you that are knuckleheads and blind, and you would rather still continue believing false theories that are no longer valid and are going to be shown to be invalid by the events going on very, very soon, and in fact right now. What are you talking about, brother? What are you trying to tell me? Here's what I'm trying to say. The end time teaching theories that are very, very popular in the world today, in the church, in most of the books that you read about the end times, those theories have a lot of errors in them. They are erroneous. They do not explain what is really going on. And because they don't explain what's going on, a lot of you are looking the wrong direction. You are looking for a sign that is never going to appear. And this watchman, I, Nathan Liao, am going to do everything I can to show you the correct sign. I will show you biblically, and I plan to show you that the signs that you're looking for are not going to happen, folks. Listen to me. They are not going to happen. Why should I listen to you? You haven't proven yourself. That's true. I have not proven myself yet. But if you continue listening and you hear the words that this watchman is telling you, you will see that biblically everything that I'm telling you is found in the Bible. Now, in order for a person to understand and to realize and to grasp the very concept of what I am saying, there has to be a memory dump happen in your brain, okay? And I don't mean that to sound rude, but a lot of the information that you have burned into your mind, burned into your thinking as a Christian, you have to do a memory dump and erase it, because that information is going to tarnish the truth when I try to tell it to you. So this is what I ask of you. Follow along and listen to what I have to say, and the scriptures that I have to show you, follow them, read them, pray about them, you take them to God. As a Berean, search the scriptures to see if the things that I say are true. It says in the book of Acts, the Bereans were noble men, and that's what they did when Paul brought a new gospel to them. They searched the scriptures. Instead of just dismissing it and saying, no, that's wrong, I challenge you, brethren, you search with me, let's dig together, and I'm going to show you what the scriptures have to say about your future. Okay? That's what I ask. You need to listen, folks, because this is going to affect your life. It's going to affect your family. You need to listen to what I'm saying. If you do not listen to what I'm saying, there is a possibility that there will be a fatality, another soldier will fall, and possibly it could be you. I do not want to see that happen. I want you to know the truth, or at least consider what I have to say, all right? Now, that being said, let's begin. Now, in order to prepare, in order to hear the message of preparation, a person has to actually hear it and believe it and then heed to it and then take action. That's what has to happen. Total preparation is not fulfilled if you just hear it and then you forget it. That's not preparation. Preparation has several steps. Just like in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed are they that read and hear and heed the words of this prophecy. You read it first and then you hear it through uncircumcised ears, you hear it through spiritual ears, you hear it because finally it begins to sink in, and then you heed, meaning you take action. You do what is needed to be done to hear the words, okay? In the same way, brethren, listen to me. This watchman is coming to you. You are privileged right now to be hearing this. That sounds arrogant and boastful, but it's the truth. You are privileged to be hearing what I'm about to tell you, all right? These are oracles from God that were birthed in prayer. These are oracles from God that have been birthed from seeking and seeking and seeking to understand the heart of the matter in a lot of these issues. I have dug and dug and pleaded with God to show me, and He has revealed these oracles through His ability to give wisdom and knowledge to an individual. Am I wise? I'm not that wise, folks, but I have just asked God for information. And in so doing, He gave me the information, and I want to give it to you now. All right? Don't fulfill the typical reaction that people in the Bible in the Old Testament had toward the prophets of God. Do not scoff. All right? And I'm not saying I'm a prophet, by the way. I'm not a prophet. I'm a watchman. I'm a person that wants to understand the words of God. I am not a prophet. For the record, let me say that again. I am not a prophet. Okay? I'm a watchman. God has made it clear to me that's what I am. He does give me words. He tells me some of his secrets, but that's what I am. So let that be for the record. Okay. Now, in the Old Testament, prophets were always mocked, made fun of, killed, scoffed. You hear the stories, you read the stories over and over and over. When they came to warn the people got angry and mad. They didn't want to hear bad news, so they killed the man for telling it to them. How dare you tell me that? Kill him! And they killed him. The book of Hebrews talks about it. It says what happened to the prophets. They were thrown in the fire. They were stoned. They were sawn in two, folks. They were cut in half, some of the prophets. They were murdered. They were killed. They were crucified by the flame, by sword, by fire, by famine. They were starved to death. They were thrown in dungeons. They were fed to the lions. The job of a prophet is not a glorious position, and that's how people treated the prophets. Today, it's no different. It is no different today. I have found myself trying to warn people, and I have been scoffed by Christians and non-Christians alike. Nobody wants to hear gloom and doom. I've been told I was evil. I have been told to burn in hell for saying such things. How dare you say God's going to judge America? God loves America. God blesses America. Don't you know how many missionaries we have sent worldwide? How dare you say that? That's been the words that I've heard, folks. But this watchman can tell you, honestly, God has revealed his judgment's coming, in spite of what some people might say. Now, in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 8, I want to read a scripture there. So, if you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Colossians. And folks, whenever we break bread at the table, spiritually speaking, when we open the Bible and we study the Bible, I encourage you folks to read from your own Bible. I want you to see these words for yourself. All right? So take your Bible, go get it. Go ahead and pause me if you need to. I'll be right here when you get back. Okay? Do you have your Bible? Okay. Now, the book of Colossians in the New Testament, chapter 2, verse 8. Let's read that. It says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Beware, folks. Beware. Do not let any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, that does not follow the mind of Christ. Why did Paul say that? Why did Paul say, do not let yourself be spoiled? Spoiled to what? Well, to believe a doctrine that is unproven by Scripture. That's what he's talking about. It says the philosophy after the tradition of men. The tradition of men, folks. Is it possible that things you believe or that I believe are just the traditions of men and really are not found in the Bible? Is that possible that what you hear in churches are the traditions of men? Is it possible that some of the actual activity that you do in church, some of the things that you participate in church are actually a philosophy or a tradition of man and not from Christ? Is that possible? Of course it is. It says right here. It also says this, if you participate in things that are the tradition of men, you could become spoiled. That is a very serious warning right there, folks, because based on what I'm seeing right there, that means that there are Christians that are spoiled because they're listening to tradition. I also submit this, that some of the things that are the traditions of men also involve the teachings that are found in end time Bible prophecy. I also submit this, the signs that you have been told to look for, the signs that you have been taught that are from God, the signs that you have been shown in these prophecy charts by some very popular preachers are the traditions of men and are the philosophies of men and are not from the things of God, based on what I read right here. Man, brother, if that's true, how am I supposed to know which one's man's tradition and which one's the truth? Exactly, brethren, exactly. How are you supposed to know? That's step one. You're supposed to even ask that question. You are supposed to ask that question, number one. To even consider that possibly there is some error in some of the things that you might be following is step one. That is the step of a wise person, a noble person, to even ask that question. Because as a child of God, it says to be diligent as a workman, handling accurately the word of truth. Accurately. Not just repeating what you hear a preacher say from the pulpit. In order for you to be fulfilling what the Bible charges us as a workman to handle the word of truth accurately, there's only one way to fulfill that, brethren, and that is not just sitting on a pew on Sunday morning and listening to a sermon and then repeating the sermon. That's not how you accurately handle the word of truth. The way to handle the word of truth accurately is to open the Bible, to blow the dust off of it, that layer of dust that's on there because half of you don't read it. Okay, that's step one. You blow the dust off, and then you open the pages, and you start digging. You start reading. You start learning. That's how you do it, folks. This watchman wants to show you the things that are in there. I will do my part to show you. I just need you to do your part. All right? Now, let's go on. Can man's traditions spoil you? Yes. Some of man's traditions can spoil you. There are other philosophies and traditions of man that probably will not spoil your Christianity. I'm not going to give you the list of things that could spoil you that are traditions of men, but I'm not going to talk about that right now. Bad tradition, though, will spoil you. Bad tradition can affect you because if it affects the way you actually find yourself living, then it will spoil you. Now, let's go on. Now, there's another spiritual truth that I want to establish that will help us understand the foundation of what I'm trying to say with end-time teaching. Now, everything I'm going to say right here has to do and will help develop a foundation why I believe that a lot of the teaching today has a lot of errors in it. In the book of Ecclesiastes, in the Old Testament, go ahead and turn there. You guys there? Pause me if you need to pause. Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 9. I'm going to share a spiritual principle right here. This is not just poetry that we are about to read, folks. This is a spiritual principle. A lot of people treat it as poetry, but it's actually truth from God. Now let's look at it. Chapter 1, verse 9. The things that have been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. We've all heard those verses, right? I'm sure you've heard it. There's nothing new under the sun. That which has happened is that which will happen again. Basically, what it's saying is that history repeats itself. History repeats itself. Did you hear what I said? History in what, brother? In prophecy? In the events that we find in the Bible, history repeats itself and will repeat itself when it has to do with man. What are you talking about? Okay, let me explain further, okay? We see Israel in the Old Testament enter the good-bad cycle over and over and over. They would follow God, they would please God, but then they would fall into idolatry after a few years. And then finally they were just backslidden, and then God would allow them to be invaded and judged. And then they would cry out to God and repent, and then the cycle would start all over again. And then they would find themselves living in peace again. Things were good, and then they would backslide, so forth and so on. They went over that cycle over and over and over. We see that in the Old Testament. Now, that also applies to the body of Christ, that cycle. The body of Christ, if we were to do a deep study, when we do a deep study on this, by the way, I'm going to show you that the body of Christ is just the continuation of the nation of Israel. We are the new Israel. It says in 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are the new Israel. So the things that happen to Israel will happen to the church. And that's what we see happening right now. The church is in a good, bad cycle. We are in the bad right now. Here in America, God is going to smite us and punish us and bring us to our knees so that we can repent and come back to Him. That's what we find ourselves with, okay? That's what we find happening right now. Now, moving from there, if history repeats itself in the way that God treats man, history is also going to repeat itself in the way Bible prophecy happens. Now, not everybody's going to get it or understand the things of God. This is another truth that has to do with Bible prophecy. Not everybody understands it. And history has shown us in the Bible that the most stubborn people that do not want to listen to the things of God and the true teachings of God are the people that are the children of God. They're knuckleheads. And actually, the teachers are the ones that are the knuckleheads as well. We see that with Jesus, with the Pharisees. They were the spiritual leaders in their day. They didn't want to hear truth. And then the children of Israel, there were so many of that were doubting also. They didn't understand the time of their visitation. They did not understand that that was Jesus in front of their very eyes, the Messiah. Today, we have history repeating itself. If we had the Pharisees during the time of Jesus, today, who would be the Pharisees? Who would be the Pharisees? It would be our Christian leaders. Those are the Pharisees today that are going to be the blind ones. In Jesus' time, also the children of Israel, the people of God, who were blind, most of them, bring it today. We have the church, the people that sit in church, the people that sit in pews next to you when you're worshiping or listening to the sermon. They are the people that are knuckleheads today. So we have the same group with just different titles and in a different time, but they are acting the same. They are blind to the things of God. Now, to understand the things of God, it takes effort, brethren. It takes really, really seeking the hidden mysteries. A lot of Bible teachers act like all the truths of God are right on the surface. Right there, all you got to do is read the Bible and you'll get it. No, 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 no. That's not how it works, brethren. For some of the truths, yes, they are right there on the surface. But there are truths, and then, by the way, the truths that are on the surface are the truths that are represented by the title and the category of milk. They are the milk type of truth. The truth that is deeper than that, though, the truth that is meat, the meat of God's Word, is not right on the surface. The truth of God's Word, folks, is the hidden manna. It is the mystery. It is the hidden nuggets of truth that only comes one way to a person, and that is through the process of digging and seeking God and asking Him to open your spiritually blind eyes, to open your ears. That is the way that we find the treasures of darkness, the hidden manna, the hidden truth, the things that are in secret places. Now, it's a privilege to know these oracles, brethren. And that is the reason for the parables. This is the reason Jesus spoke in parables, is because He wanted people to seek Him and to really understand by knowing Him was the price to pay for understanding the truth of God. God likes it that way. God likes it when we seek Him to really understand the deeper things. Now that I said all that, are you ready for the Whopper? The Whopper. Are you ready? Okay, here it comes. When studying the end times, if a theory is very popular, then there is a good chance, a very, very good chance, that most likely that theory is wrong. Did you hear what I said, brethren? And I'm about to show you this in the Bible to explain what I'm talking about, all right? But let me say that again. If there is a very popular end time theory, then there is a good chance that it is wrong. Why? Because Jesus said so. What? What do you mean He said so? Yes, that's right. He said so. He sure did. Where did He say that, brother? Tell me, where did He say that? I'll tell you in a second. But let me ask you a question. Are there any end time theories out there that are very popular, brethren? You bet there are. You better believe there are. It's a billion-dollar industry right now, the teaching of the end times. People are swallowing up the teachings of end times, and the most popular teaching out there is the teaching of the pre-tribulation rapture. It's very popular. Millions and millions of books are being sold. Mr. Tim LaHaye has made millions, tens of millions of dollars with his Left Behind series. There's been movies made about that theory. It makes a lot of money, but there's a problem with this entire teaching. The problem is, it is a popular teaching. That's the problem. It's popular. Therefore, it's wrong. What? What are you... Brother, I don't know if this is heresy that you're telling me. You're telling me that if everyone believes something, that means it's wrong? Yes, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Turn to the book of Luke. I'm going to show you this right now, brother. Okay? I'm going to show you everything, like I said before, everything I tell you, I'm going to show you with Scripture. All right? God has revealed this. I have sought Him very hard to understand this. Now, as a side note, the Bible says in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, the very last chapter of the book of Daniel, it says, in the end times, the wise ones will understand. It says that the book of Daniel will remain sealed until the very end. But in the end, there will be wise ones that understand. It says that. It does not say there will be educated ones that understand. It says there will be wise ones. Now, when you take a group of 100 people, are all of them wise? Are even half of them wise? No. The ratio of wise people versus knuckleheads is a low ratio. You sound arrogant and boastful again, brother. I'm not trying to sound arrogant and boastful, brethren. I'm trying to share with you the oracles of God. Listen to this watchman, okay? Just listen. Now go to the book of Luke, chapter 17. Look what Jesus says right here. The book of Luke 17. And by the way, pause me right here because I want you to see this verse that I'm about to share with you. And when you see this, I want for you to make it a part of your thinking. This verse has to become a part of your end time philosophy and thinking. This is not a philosophy or tradition of man I'm about to give you. These are the words of Christ I'm about to share with you, okay? So, pause me, get your Bible, and get the marker because I want you to mark this down. Okay, unpause. Here we go. Are you ready, folks? In the book of Luke 17, verse 20, let's read that. And when He was demanded of the Pharisees, and they asked Him when the kingdom of God should come, He answered and He said to them, here it is, folks, the kingdom of God comes not with observation. The kingdom of God comes not with observation. The kingdom of God does not come with observation. The kingdom of God doesn't come with anyone noticing. I'm paraphrasing, folks. I could go on and on rephrasing that statement. When the kingdom of God comes, no one has a clue that it came. When the kingdom of God comes, the people are knuckleheads and have no clue that it happens. I could go on, but I'll stop there. I think you get the point. What does that mean? What are you talking about? This is what I'm talking about. God's plans are a mystery to man. They always are. They always have been. It says in the Bible, the gospel is a mystery. It says that. It's a mystery. Now, let's go back for a second as I establish my point. Let's go back to before Christ. Let's go way back before Christ. Let's go hundreds of years before Christ. Now, Bible teachers hundreds of years before Christ, way back then, they taught Israel how the Messiah was going to come. They read the prophecies. There were prophecies about the birth of Christ written in the book of Isaiah and the Psalms. I mean, it's all through the Old Testament. In Genesis, it's in there. But imagine this, brethren. Imagine, since humans are the same, we read in Ecclesiastes, man always does the same thing over and over and over. History repeats itself. What has happened will happen again, okay? That's a spiritual truth, a foundation. The reason I told you that first so that I can explain what I'm about to say. If we go way back to the time of Israel, of Old Testament Israel, imagine back then there were some Tim LaHayes back then. There were some Hal Lindsays who spoke about the prophecies about how the Messiah was going to come. There were some John Hagees, so-called experts, who were very popular with all the people of Israel. And they shared with all the people of Israel how the Messiah was going to come according to what they read in Scripture. They had it figured out. They knew how it was going to happen. They would quote Scripture about the Messiah. They had it figured out, brethren. In fact, let me show you one of the Scriptures that they quoted. They loved to quote. It was probably in their books. They were probably million-dollar sellers. They probably made movies and had all these websites about how it was going to happen. They had it all figured out. I'm being facetious now, but you get my point. All of the people of Israel were educated by the traditions and theories and philosophies of men. All right? Now, let me show you one of the Scriptures that they used in supporting their theories of how the Messiah was going to come to earth. In Isaiah chapter 11, and by the way, turn to that. Pause me right now. Okay, unpause. You there? Isaiah chapter 11, Old Testament. Here we go. We're going to read verse 1 through 4. Let's go. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, nor reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Okay, stop right there, brethren. We read four verses in the book of Isaiah. This is, of course, talking about the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, coming to earth. As we read these four verses, I want you to know one thing. In verse 1 and 2, we have the first coming of Jesus. He will grow from the roots of Jesse. The Spirit shall rest upon him. Spirit of wisdom on him. Spirit of knowledge, the fear of the Lord. That's the first coming. If you look to verse 3 and 4, he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, or reprove after the hearing of his ears. With righteousness shall he judge the poor, reprove the equity of the meek. He shall smite the earth with a rod of iron. That's the coming judging Messiah. That's the second coming. We have here in Isaiah verse 1 through 4, two comings of the Messiah, two advents of the Messiah. We have Jesus being born and then dying and then leaving the earth for 2,000 years and then returning again. Now, between verse 2 and 3, we have a 2,000-year gap. 2,000 years are between the two verses. Now, let's go back to ancient Israel. When the John Hagees and the Tim LaHayes and Hal Lindsey's were teaching their theories of how the Messiah was going to come, they did not know that there was a 2,000-year gap in this prophecy. How could they know? They were blind. They did not know. And so, the children of Israel had their expectation of how the Messiah was going to come. He was going to be born and take over the world and judge the world with the rod of iron. He was going to come in one advent and make things straight. That's what they expected. And now we know, looking back, that they expected this wrong. They were wrong. Now, according to the book of Ecclesiastes, what has happened in the past is also going to happen in the future. When Jesus said the kingdom of God does not come with observation, what that meant was when he actually came, no one had a clue it was happening. They did not know what was happening because they were looking for the wrong signs. They had no clue. They thought they knew, but they did not. In fact, let's move forward a little bit to the time of the birth of Jesus. And what do we see happening? We see this actually fulfilled. When Jesus was born to Mary and Joseph in the manger, I ask you this, brethren, out of all those millions of Israelites, children of God, who knew Bible prophecy and knew how the Messiah was going to come, out of all those great teachers and scholars who were selling their books, making their movies on how the Messiah was going to come, how many were witness to the birth of Jesus? How many were there when it happened? How many of the teachers were there? Zero. How many children of Israel were there? If it was not for the angels who told the shepherds, go find the baby lying in the manger and go worship him, if the angels did not tell that information to the shepherds, there would be no human beings there to witness it. The shepherds had to be told by angels' intervention. So not even the shepherds had information that told them in advance. So we have nobody knowing what was going on. Now let's look at this, brethren. Look at this piece of information. The star of Bethlehem that was shining over Bethlehem, who saw it? The children of Israel? Were there some wise ones in Israel that saw it? Were there some educated scholars that knew Bible prophecy that saw it and noticed it? No. Out of all the people of God who lived in Israel, how many saw the star of Bethlehem? Zero. Who saw it? It says wise men from the east saw it. We are not sure actually how many there were, but they were wise. They weren't educated. They were wise. Just a few. Just a few wise men. Count them on one hand. Out of the millions of people in Israel, there were only a few that you could count on one hand who knew what was going on. Now think about that, brethren. The prophecy books did not hold any facts or truth to them back then, did they? And that's why I submit to you right now, brethren, the teaching of end time prophecy right now, because it is so popular, is following in the exact fulfillment of what we saw happen in the first advent of Jesus. Jesus said, my kingdom does not come with observation. The people will have no clue what's going on. Therefore, brethren, this is what I'm submitting to you. The signs that you have been shown to look for, according to the popular Bible teachers, are popular, and therefore people are observing those signs. But Jesus says otherwise. He says when his kingdom comes, no one will know it's happening, or it doesn't come with observation. Now, let me rephrase that. It doesn't mean no one will know. It just means the majority popular teaching is not the teaching that will allow it to be observed. In the book of Daniel chapter 12, it says the wise ones will understand. Again, just like we saw in the first advent, we had the wise men who understood. In the end times, we will have a few wise ones who will understand what's going on. Just a few. Now, in the book of Daniel chapter 11, it says, those with insight among the people will instruct many. So we have a prophecy that is mentioned about some wise ones in Daniel chapter 11 that explains that the wise ones will begin sharing with some people. But the majority of people will not listen, will not understand, because they have been taught erroneously and wrong. That's a pretty heavy-duty statement to say, isn't it, brethren? I understand it is. Well, how do you know that that applies to the pre-tribulation rapture teaching, brother? This is why. Because I have dug in the Bible, and the pre-tribulation rapture does not exist. The word rapture is not even in the Bible, brethren. It's not. In fact, the event that speaks of human beings being given immortal bodies is being looked at upside down and backwards by Christians. There is a lot of focus on the rapture, the rapture, the rapture. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we will disappear and be caught up in the clouds. That is the focus. And brethren, I submit this to you. That is a red herring to distract and get people away from the actual truth of what Jesus taught. Now, when he was on earth, he told us that he said, I am the resurrection and the life. The resurrection and the life. We see John 3:16 say, he that believes shall not perish, but have eternal life. What is the resurrection and what does eternal life entail, brethren? What does it entail? It entails being resurrected. All those that have died in the past, all throughout the Bible and Scripture, shall be resurrected. They shall be resurrected. The term resurrection is the actual term that we should be focusing on. And that's actually what the event, quote-unquote, that the rapture is talking about. It's really the resurrection. And if you start looking into Scripture and studying where resurrection happens, the Bible's very clear on when it happens. It happens at the last day. In the book of John, it says, in the last day. It's in there over and over and over, in the last day. In the book of Job, in the last day. Jesus also spoke of something else. He said, when the Son of Man returns, there will be a harvest. Over and over, he spoke of the harvest. The fields are white with harvest. The angels will go out and gather in the harvest. In the book of Joel, it's the time of the harvest. Revelation, the harvest. If you look at the terms of when the harvest happens, brethren, it's not at the beginning of the tribulation. There is only one harvest, and that's when the Son of Man appears. The harvest, brethren. We are focusing on the wrong events or on the wrong terms. Let's look at biblical events. We need to get to the Bible and actually see what Jesus is talking about. When the Son of Man comes, he will separate the sheep and the goats. The angels, the holy angels, will gather them and separate them. That's the harvest, the separation, the wheat and the tares. Over and over, all those events are the same events, brethren. The wheat and the tares, the plucking, the harvest, the resurrection. I'm not going to go into the entire teaching right now because it's going to take several broadcasts to explain it. But I'm just giving you a little taste of what we are going to be talking about. The term rapture is not in Scripture. The resurrection and the harvest is what we need to be focusing on, brethren. Okay? So, I'm running out of time, so I'm going to have to stop. But I'm going to end with this, brethren. I invite you to continue returning to listen to this truth that this watchman has to share with you, because it's going to open your eyes. It's going to bring information that you've never considered in your whole life. So let's end with that. I invite you to go to my website, and if God leads you, again, we do need your support. So pray about it, and if God leads you to support us, then we welcome your support, brethren. Other than that, feel free to browse. There's a lot of information. So God bless you, and we'll see you next time.